When I was looking for the image that's on the cover of the Order of Service and on the poster out in front of our church, I did what any good preacher in the 21st century would do. I typed simplicity into my search box and let Google work its magic. And you know what came back? Dozens of pictures of sewing kits. Simplicity sewing patterns. And I thought to myself, this isn't going to be so simple. And those of you who are on Facebook saw that I, or may have seen that I posted a picture of this sermon, which looks kind of like this. It's not so simple to deal with simplicity. Nothing is simple in life, is it? Yesterday, we held here a memorial service for Eleanor May, a member of this congregation for such a long time who gave so much. What's simple about that? We get sick, tragic accidents happen, people we love die. We live in a world with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, serious chronic illnesses of the body and the mind. What's simple about any of that? A few days back, we heard from our assistant minister, the Reverend Alex McGee, that she is going to be exploring the possibility of her ministry moving from ministry here to ministry in another place. In fact, in about 20 minutes, the service in Charleston, West Virginia will begin, and her candidating will begin, and whatever transition occurs will begin. And what's simple about any of that? Having been on her side of the equation, there's nothing simple about showing up to a bunch of strangers and trying to look ministerial. Too late for you. But on our side, too, what's simple about someone we love, have come to depend on, come to trust, saying goodbye? It happens all the time. Couples divorce. Children and parents become estranged. Relationships that we wish would happen don't. What's simple in life? Shakespeare had Hamlet say that we face the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that flesh is heir to. Job insecurity, food insecurity, racism, sexism, ableism, ageism, homophobia, transphobia, difference phobia. Where is the simplicity in any of that? Nothing in life is simple. We may hunger for the simple. We may strongly seek the stable. But something always comes along to knock the pins out from under us, to take that stability and flip it on its head, to take equanimity and equilibrium and make it anything but. So as I was putting this sermon together and reflecting on all of this, I found some, to me at least, meaningful wisdom in a Spider-Man comic book. Now, for those who aren't familiar with Spider-Man, his alter ego is named Peter Parker, and we've watched Peter Parker grow from an angst-ridden adolescent with superpowers into an angst-ridden adult with superpowers. There's nothing good goes on in Peter Parker's life for very long. In fact, he has so many trials and tribulations that another character, Daredevil, once advised somebody, remember, no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it seems, At least you're not Spider-Man. So Spider-Man in this piece of this comic is wrestling with a hard question, a life-changing question. And his dear Aunt May, she says, Peter, do you want to know what life is, what life really is? Life is the inevitable hard times. The inevitable hard times that we cannot escape. That's what life is. Inevitable hard times with moments of joy that make it bearable. And when the inevitable hard time comes, what will we do? We'll work through it. And on the other side, another moment of joy. Kind of pessimistic, don't you think? Life is the hard times, which is really the opposite of what most of us think most of the time. Life is the good times, and the hard things that come in are interruptions of that, are mistakes. They shouldn't be there. And so when we strive, we're striving for a life without the hard times, a life of just the good times. But what if she's right? What if the hard times are the definition of our lives? If you don't believe Aunt May Parker, try Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha. The first noble truth of Buddhism is life is suffering. Fundamentally, at its essence, life is suffering. Within the Christian tradition, at least the traditional Christian tradition, at its foundation, in its essence, life is sin. Same thing. Life is suffering. Life is sin. Life is the inevitable hard times. So what do we do with that? How do we grapple, if that's true, with the fact that the essence of our lives is hard? We can't run from it. We can't create some semblance of peace and simplicity. Years ago, I thought I might become a Zen monk. And at Mount Tremp, it's not so funny. I know if you've been in my office, simplicity and calmness doesn't seem to be what I'm about, but trust me. Or recognize that I ended up here. When I pursued entry into a monastery, there was a group called the Guardian Council. This is at Mount Tremper, Zen Mountain Monastery. And the Guardian Council's role was to see whether or not you were seeking to become a monk for the right reasons. And if you seemed to be going there because you were trying to get away from here, they turned you away. If you thought you were going to find the peace and the serenity and the simplicity in the monastery that you felt you could never find out in the real world, they turned you away. Because they said, whatever it is you're trying to get away from out there will be magnified in here because there's going to be nothing else but that. There's a story I love from the Christian tradition. It's about a monk named Brother Marco, who was known in his monastery for having, a bit of a temper. Always irritable, always with something nasty to say. And finally, the abbot said to him, after years of discord because of this one monk, the abbot said, you got to do something about this. And since it was a Christian monastery, Marco went to the chapel and knelt before the cross. And for hours, he prayed and he cried, take from me this anger. Take from me this rudeness. Take from me this impatience with other people. And whether it was because he had been on his knees for hours without eating or drinking, or whether it was a true mystical revelation, the voice of Christ said to him, "I promise, the days of this anger are gone." Brother Marco had never felt so light in his life, and he left the chapel knowing that a new day had dawned. And quickly, he came across one of the few monks who he always got along with, one of the few monks he loved. And the monk brusquely pushed him aside and said, "I have no time for your garbage today, Marco," which really hurt him and insulted him. And he almost reacted, but then he remembered he was now a new man. Jesus had promised he would have been changed. So he walked down the hallway towards the kitchen. He had missed meals, as I said, while he was praying, and he went to ask the cook for some food, and the cook very insultingly, very haughtily said, "You weren't here, there's no food." Again, Marco almost lost it. Then he came across the abbot, who said, "You missed all the prayers." And Marco said, "But I was praying, I was doing what you said." "Doesn't matter, do not let that happen again." And Marco came this close to exploding, but instead he ran to the chapel, fell back on his knees, and said, "Lord, I thought you had said this would all be done." And again he heard the voice saying, "I did. That's why I'm giving you so many opportunities to practice." You can't run from it. The hard things that we wrestle with, especially those interior hard things, we can't get away from it. And even if we were somehow to achieve nirvanic peace or a Buddhistic calm, even that wouldn't be simple. There's a scene in the movie Gandhi, which I don't know if it actually happened, but it sure sounds like the Gandhi I've read. He said to a reporter, "It costs my friends a lot of money to keep me in poverty." Even if we found that kind of simplicity, think about how hard our friends, our families would have to work to help us maintain that. So if we can't run from it and we can't create some kind of bubble around ourselves, what do we do? What hope is there? Well, Aunt May again. Don't try to stop the hard times. Embrace them. They're there. They are inevitable. Work through them. On the other side will be another moment of joy. Those moments of joy that make it bearable. We waste so much energy and create so much suffering in ourselves while we try to understand why this is happening to me. After his son died from that disease that makes you age quickly, the rabbi Harold Kushner engaged in a study of why bad things happen to good people. He searched scriptures of different kinds. He talked to everyone he could to find out what did the great religions of the world say about why bad things happen to good people. And in the end, it came down to this truth. Bad things happen to good people because bad things happen to all people. Bad things happen. Because we don't think they're supposed to, we suffer. That's the meaning of suffering in the Buddhist context. When Buddha said life is suffering, he didn't mean life is only the horrible things. He said that our human essence is to wrestle with these hard things as if they shouldn't be there. So something bad happens and it's bad. We feel like it shouldn't happen and we suffer. If we were to shift our thinking from life is supposed to be good and simple and stable to life is as hard as we experience it being. That's the way it is and the way it's going to be. And so what we can do is embrace it, move through it, and enjoy those moments of joy. Let them flow over us like a spring rain. Let them fill us. Store them in our cells so that we have the fuel for the next hard time. And then repeat that process over and over again. That's the secret of simplicity. And what could be more simple than that?